knows how to get your attention and the things to say and the position to be in so that I would come and accept him as a Savior. And I had good parents, and they always put the Lord right in front of me. Whatever I did, or whatever situation there was, then there was always, they always said, you know, what would happen if you died right now? And I always knew that when I was lost, that I'd go to hell. And they always put that before me. And I thank that God for that. So I was saved on a Tuesday in 2003 at church camp. And for the last, well, I guess it was 4 years now, the Lord was convicting me, and I knew what it was, and I didn't want to do it, so I put it off. And I just put it off for several years, and you know, pastors always say that there is a fire, and it's so true that there is a fire, and it does not go out, and it eats you up if you do not accept it. So June 15th, Father's Day, I think. I know it was Father's Day. I don't know the number. I answered the call, and now I'm trying to serve him the way he would want me to. Let's open your Bibles. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Just for a few minutes tonight. I won't hold you forever. We're going to look at which side of the fence are you on. The Lord gives us two options. You can either serve him, or you can serve yourself. You can serve the world. And he gives it, throughout the whole Bible, you see that there is this choice that he always gives you. And someone asked me, well, if God's so great and powerful, then why does he give, why does he let people go and commit murder, go commit sin, and go and do these horrible things? And I just kind of chuckled to myself, and I just said, because he gave us free will. And we don't have to serve him. We don't have to do anything he says. But there is a price and there is a consequence for not answering and for not doing what the Lord says. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I have commanded you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I have commanded you this day, and go after gods which ye have not known." So right here, it gives us a choice. We can serve God, or we can choose not to, and there's a consequence for that. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to look at a great example of someone who served the Lord and someone who didn't. 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's start here in verse 17. "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and has fallen after Balaam." Now Balaam, many of you know the story, I'm sure all of you, it was an idol. It was something that the people have made to go and worship, and they served Balaam. And look at verse 19. "Now therefore send, and gather me all Israel unto the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the God 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab said unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." You know, that's many times how we are. We're given this choice. We're given this option to either serve the Lord or to not. And we're speechless because we don't know where we stand. Because we have not made the Lord our God. We have not totally committed our life, our habitation to the Lord. Verse 22. "Then said Elijah unto the people, I remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are 450 men. Let them, therefore, give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered, and said, "It is well spoken." So they're going to have two bulls. They're going to have two bulls, and they're going to make a sacrifice for each one. And these prophets of Baal, 450, are going to call upon Baal, and only one is going to call upon the Lord God. And we're going to see who is the Lord. In verse 25, "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bull for yourself, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call upon the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took a bull, which was given them, and dressed it, and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answereth. And they leaped upon the altar that was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god, for either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in journey, peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves in the manner of knives and lances, till blood gushed upon them. And it came to pass, when it was midday was past, and they prophesied in the time the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was no voice, nor any that answereth, nor that regardeth." You know, it says try the spirits. We can try the spirits, and we can go after, we can go serve the world, and we can see, and we can try to have blessings from there. And I love Psalms chapter 73. And it talks about the prosperity of the world, how it's like a roller coaster. They're up real high at the beginning, and then God brings them down, and He brings them down lower than anything else or anything else in this world can do. And that's the way people in the world, all we believe that we can do it ourselves, and that we don't need God, that we can pull ourselves up from our own bootstraps, and that we can make a life for ourselves. And God will bring you down. That pride, God will bring you down lower than you want to go. And I love that song that Brother Josh, well, he hasn't sang in a long time. But sin will take you farther than you want to go. And it's so true. And I love how when he sings it, because you can just see the passion in Brother Josh. Sin truly does take us farther than we want to go. And look at verse 30. Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was broken. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, okay, start over. The tribes of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, spake in Israel, saying by the name. And the stones, if he built the altar in the name of the Lord, and built the trench around the altar, was great, that it could contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock into pieces, and laid him on the wood, and filled 4 barrels of water, and poured it unto the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time, and they did it a second time. He said, do it a third time, and they did it a third time. And the water went around, went about the altar, and filled up the trench also with water. So he built this altar, and he built a trench around it, and it was so large that it contained 2 measures of seed. You know, I think about when we were younger at camp. Well, when I was younger, we did trenches for pipes and everything. And I always, every time I read this, I think of that, because we had a dig, and it was pretty deep. You know, it went up to there. And every time I think of that, I always think of that, and how much water there was on there that consumed that altar. And the water ran around the altar and filled up the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering, in the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came here and said, The Lord of God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things according to thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me this, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned thy heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed. You know, notice that he only asked once, and he believed. You know, and if you believe With all your heart, you only have to ask once. Yep. You can get saved that first time if you yep. believe fully with that whole heart. You know, and the other prophets, they cried for all day, or all half of the day, and they started cutting themselves and mocking him. But Elijah only believed in that true God, and he asked once. And fire from the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And all the people that saw it fell on their faces. And they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And as you keep on reading, you know, Elijah killed them all. You know, if you do not serve the Lord, one day you're going to die. And if you do not put Him first, if you never get saved, if you are just a member of the New Testament church and you're a bench warmer, you're going to be saved, yet so as by fire, but you will perish. That you will not have anything to give before the Lord. The faithful servants will have the crowns, and you'll have nothing, and you're just going to sit there, and you're going to not be able to dwell with the Lord God for eternity. And that, you know, that I believe that will be just terrible. You can just see the Lord, but you just cannot have that fellowship, that closeness with Him. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Who is building your house? You know, I do not have a wife, I do not have children, but I know that I don't want my life, and I don't want my future wife and my future kids, I don't want them to have to experience the hardship, the heartaches, and the pain that goes without knowing Christ as their Savior, without knowing the true gospel that there is. You know, I was brought up in a New Testament church, and, you know, I believe wholeheartedly that if I do not walk away and a trampled child away should go and we as old should not depart, I will not depart from that, and I will get to see my children, the Lord tarries his coming, grow up in a New Testament church. Luke chapter 6, verse 48. Yeah, 48, 49. Oh, I'm in the job. Let's 46. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not think but to say, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I shall show you the whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid upon the foundation on a rock, and the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without foundation, and built the house upon the earth, which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. If you build your house on the Lord, if you make your life a habitation of the Lord, then the storms in life will come. The world is not a joyful place, and the things inside of it are not fun. I'm sure, brother, we've talked about it. You know, you told me never have kids. It's not fun. And I just imagine, you know, and I bet it's very stressful. And there's certain, like, jobs and certain things are very stressful. But if you rely on the Lord, if you build your house upon that rock, then those things can't touch you because you're above them. You're on that solid foundation. But if you build your things on wood, hay, cell, precious things like that, it's all going to vanish away. Sure. And the ruin of your house will be great. Yeah. Yeah. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. Romans chapter 12. God have myself. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, God has called each and every one of us, you're saved, scripture, baptized, member of New Testament church. God has called you for a purpose. And it is reasonable, and He doesn't ever ask anything that we cannot do. And if you, you know, We're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be separate. That's why God has given us commandments that that the world will, well, it's okay to miss church this day, or it's okay to miss, it's okay to not go to the youth rally. It's okay to go and drink every once in a while, just not get drunk. No, you're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be that lighthouse in the world. We're supposed to be set apart. Because He has called us for a service that is reasonable and that we can obtain and we can show forth that will of God through our service. Yeah. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Now we'll go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. We hear this all the time. And, you know, many times we just breeze through it and we don't look into what it's actually talking about. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, I just caught the ending of Brother Lucas's lesson, but, you know, towards the end, he was talking about the Word of God is more precious than gold. It's more precious than rubies. It's more precious than anything in this world. Mm-hmm. And this book is alive. And we're supposed to put our faith and put our trust in the Word of God and Lord. And don't worry about the things of this world. Don't worry about the car you can get, the nice job, how much money you can make. Because all that is like that and it's gone. You know, our life is like a vapor, which doth fade away or something like that. This life means nothing if you do not have the Lord. And if we're supposed to be a lighthouse and we're supposed to put on that cross daily and follow after God. It's not about what we can gain, about what we can achieve. It's only what we can achieve through the Lord Christ. Turn to John chapter 3, verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the commandment, condemnation, that light has come into this world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know, we hear many times, we are totally deprived. We cannot do good. We cannot do any righteous thing without the Lord God. There's only one righteous man that came, and he was from a little town of Bethlehem, and through him we can be saved. And through him, we can show forth that our salvation, not only saving our soul, but what he's done for you. What, like, the testimony that you have with the Lord and the, you know, just, you know, I like sharing my testimony just of, like, little things. And on Wednesday, we have, you raise your hands and you share the blessings that the Lord done for you this week. And you know, I like hearing, Brother Hill over there, he's a mailman, and he goes, well, it didn't rain today. And it's just the little things, you know. I mean, it's the little things, but, you know, it always puts a smile on my face because, you know, we always think of the big things that the Lord has done for us, but we forget about the little tiny things that he helps us move along, you know. Finding a car spot that's right next to Target, you know, you just walk right in and walk right out. You know, it's just the little things that make a difference, you know. You know, I couldn't find my glasses today, and Alex put up somewhere and tried to hide them, and I found them. You know, it's just the little things. You know, it's just funny how the Lord works, and if you just trust and rely on Him, then you're not as stressed. It's amazing. And turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. God has called each and every one of us to have a job. You know, and virtually all of our jobs are the same. You know, some have different offices in which we perform those jobs, but all of us have the same job and should have that same goal. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation of wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father over all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You know, we can't measure that gift that God has given us. And, you know, it's, I count it, you know, I didn't want to be a preacher, because I saw what my brother had to go through, and others, and Brother Doug. I'm sure it's not fun all the time. But, you know, I count myself lucky to be able to do a job that God has called me to do. And, you know, if I keep my focus on the Lord, then He'll make my job a lot easier. He'll make my life more peace than I could ever dream of. Yeah. And, you know, back to verse 1, walk worthy of the vocation of where which we're called. You know, you can't walk worthy every other day. You can't walk worthy on Sunday, on Wednesday. It has to be a daily thing. It has to be, you put on that cross every single day. And, you know, every single day, you know, maybe start off with a word of prayer. I found that's the easiest way to get your mind just going in the right direction. And, you know, I was working with Brother Travis in the kitchen on our church camp. And, you know, a kitchen is not the funnest job, and it's the longest to do. But, you know, he taught me something that day on Saturday. Yeah, you know, it's not, Friday. It's not the funnest job to do, but, you know, it's something for the Lord. And you can make whatever job or whatever thing that you have, maybe it's not as fun, but if you do it with the willingness and the effort, and you have that right heart, then the Lord will make it fun. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible how we just don't think about those things. Turn to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are a broken heart, and saveth such as a contrite spirit. You know, we have to have that broken heart for the Lord to answer our prayer. To put the Lord first, you have to have that contrite heart. You have to see yourself lower than anyone around me. You know, you have to. You know, it's something I've been trying to work on. You know, as many of you know, I do not have a pride issue. And, see? But no, most of the time I'm joking. But, you know, before I got saved, you know, I thought, you know, I wasn't really that bad. You know, my dad was a preacher. You know, my mom, she was a nice lady. And you know, I really wasn't that bad. I didn't really sin. I didn't really get into trouble. I didn't get that many spankings. But, you know, before I got saved, and before you, I surrendered, or not surrendered, but hopefully I surrendered, but the answer, the call of the preach, you know, you gotta humble yourself, you gotta put yourself lower, and let the Lord bring you up. Turn to Psalms chapter 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and Him will I trust. Surely He hath delivered thee from the snare of the fowler. So I didn't know what these words meant, so I looked them up. I'll continue reading verse 3. He delivered thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So I looked up that fowler, how you say it? Flower? You know, that means a trapper or a snail or someone who lays a trap. Mm-hmm. And He will deliver you from someone who lays a trap. That's that noisome. It's a perverse thing. It's a perverse thing, and then that pestilence is calamity. You know, He will deliver you from evil. He will deliver you from bad things in this world, the heartaches that you have. He will pick you up, literally pick you up, and put you on that rock with Him to where you can successfully serve the Lord. Yeah. Keep on reading. Verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and upon His wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. If you make the Lord, if I make the Lord my house, my habitation, where I dwell, then he will not, the things in this world will not matter. Because he will pick you up and he will cover you with his wing, and you'll see the people of this world, like in Psalms 73, you see the people of this world, they'll fall down beside you. But the Lord will give you strength to keep pushing on and to move on, and he will give you that strength to do the job which he has called you to do. Yeah. As we stand and song leader, prayer, prayer, please come. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Sorry, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor, that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Whatever heartaches you have, whatever stresses in life that you have, like paying bills, anything like that, if you come to the Lord, he will make your life easier. He will put it, all your troubles and all your stress and everything that you worry about, he'll put it in a little wheelbarrow, and you can just walk right next to him, and he will guide you through your life. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you can come today, and if the Spirit is drawing, then he's still working on you. You still have a chance to get saved. And all you have to do is ask and believe, that he is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, yes. As we sing. Amen.
231. Come to him by your own will, but he's not going to force you to. We looked in the Word of God tonight. You know what? It's to your benefit eternally to come God's way, just as this invitation gives. If you don't, you're only hurting yourself. You may think, no, I'm not going to do it because of Cameron or because of Brother Barnett or because of somebody else, the person I'm standing to. You know what? They're not going to stand before you in judgment or even beside you when you stand before God. It's just going to be you and him alone. Then you'll regret not making the right choice here and now. We're going to continue the invitation with another verse of song. Come unto him. Brother Luke, let's have another verse, please.
I need thee every hour to
services on Wednesday and then next Sunday back here in the sanctuary also. Brother Austin Hawker, dismiss us please in a word of prayer. Okay, come on back, please.
Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come to the house tonight and come to worship you and be here in this place. as a senator of the Lord Bless His Church and for our efforts in our ministry. So, may my soul save the members out here, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you share well our sister church with the forever, Lord. Thank you. We can have a Lord to have with us our sister churches, Lord, from the grant. And be with them and their ministry also, Lord, if you can not grow. And Lord, the tendencies are there that you remove the temptations go away. Offer service to you, and Lord, give everyone that's traveling home, give them health and safety, and Lord, help us to remember the words they've heard us say, and apply them to our hearts and our lives, Lord. We don't just want the words fall out of the wayside, Lord. We can continue every day, Lord, our studies and the Word. You grow as your children, and Lord, look forward to that day that we'll be with you, and hopefully in that city forever. And Lord, once again, I thank you above all these things for sending your Son and dying on the cross to make this all possible, Lord. We both have eternal life and also have that ability to live our lives for you, Lord, and have that fellowship with you that you desired since the beginning. And Lord, I see they were all fall short and I fail in the future that I have in the past. Let's go these things in your Son's name.
Ready? Oh, yeah.